He can use us, literally, to change the world. This is the LifeSpring Family Audio Bible, episode number 171. This is the daily podcast where we are reading through the entire Bible in a year. My name is Steve Webb, and I'm your host. Welcome. I'm very happy that you're here today. Thank you for sharing your time with me. Our reading today is Psalms 72 through 74. And to find out what Bible translations I'm using today, go to the show notes page at bible.lifespringmedia.com, episode 171. If you'd like to get in touch with me, my email address is steve@lifespringmedia.com. We're going to do something just a little bit different today after the reading. I normally just have commentary on one section of what we've read, but today I'm going to comment on each of the three chapters of Psalms that we're going to be reading. Each of the Psalms is fairly short today, and so I think we have time. Before we get started with the reading, let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you, Lord, that you have revealed yourself to us through the Bible. And I pray, God, that as we read today, you would speak to us. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's begin. Psalms chapter 72. God, give the king your good judgment, and the king's son your goodness. Help him judge your people fairly and decide what is right for the poor. Let there be peace on the mountains and goodness on the hills for the people. Tell him to be fair to the poor and save the needy and punish those who hurt them. May they respect you as long as the sun shines and as long as the moon glows. Let them be like rain on the grass, like showers that water the earth. Let goodness be plentiful where he lives. Let peace continue as long as there is a moon. Let his kingdom go from sea to sea and from the Euphrates River to the ends of the earth. Let the people of the desert bow down to him and make his enemies lick the dust. Let the kings of Tarshish and the faraway lands bring him gifts. Let the kings of Sheba and Seba bring their presents to him. Let all kings bow down to him and all nations serve him. He will help the poor when they cry out and will save the needy when no one else will help. He will be kind to the weak and poor, and he will save their lives. He will save them from cruel people who try to hurt them, because their lives are precious to him. Long live the king. Let him receive gold from Sheba. Let people always pray for him and bless him all day long. Let the fields grow plenty of grain and the hills be covered with crops. Let the land be as fertile as Lebanon, and let the cities grow like the grass in a field. Let the king be famous forever. Let him be remembered as long as the sun shines. Let the nations be blessed because of him, and may they all bless him. Praise the Lord God, the God of Israel, who alone does such miracles. Praise his glorious name forever. Let his glory fill the whole world. Amen and amen. This ends the prayers of David, son of Jesse. Psalm chapter 73. Surely God is good to Israel, to those who are pure in heart. But as for me, my feet had almost slipped. I had nearly lost my foothold. For I envied the arrogant when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. They have no struggles. Their bodies are healthy and strong. They are free from common human burdens. They are not plagued by human ills. Therefore, pride is their necklace. They clothe themselves with violence. From their callous hearts comes iniquity. Their evil imaginations have no limits. They scoff and speak with malice. With arrogance they threaten oppression. Their mouths lay claim to heaven, and their tongues take possession of the earth. Therefore their people turn to them and drink up waters in abundance. They say, "How would God know? Does the Most High know everything?" This is what the wicked are like. Always free of care, they go on amassing wealth. Surely in vain I have kept my heart pure and have washed my hands in innocence. All day long I have been afflicted, and every morning brings new punishments. If I had spoken out like that, I would have betrayed your children. When I tried to understand all this, it troubled me deeply till I entered the sanctuary of God. Then I understood their final destiny. Surely you place them on slippery ground. You cast them down to ruin. How suddenly are they destroyed, completely swept away by terrors. They're like a dream when one awakes. When you arise, Lord, you will despise them as fantasies. When my heart was grieved and my spirit embittered, I was senseless and arrogant. I was a brute beast before you. Yet I am always with you. You hold me by my right hand. You guide me with your counsel, and afterward you will take me into glory. Whom have I in heaven but you? And earth has nothing I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Those who are far from you will perish. You destroy all who are unfaithful to you. But as for me, it is good to be near God. I have made the Sovereign Lord my refuge. I will tell of all your deeds. Psalms chapter 74. O God, why have you rejected us so long? Why is your anger so intense against the sheep of your own pasture? Remember that we are the people you chose long ago, the tribe you redeemed as your own personal possession. And remember Jerusalem, your home here on earth. Walk through the awful ruins of the city. See how the enemy has destroyed your sanctuary. There your enemies shouted their victorious battle cries. There they set up their battle standards. They swung their axes like woodcutters in a forest. With axes and picks, they smashed the carved paneling. They burned your sanctuary to the ground. They defiled the place that bears your name. Then they thought, "Let's destroy everything." So they burned down all the places where God was worshipped. We no longer see your miraculous signs. All the prophets are gone, and no one can tell us when it will end. How long, O God, will you allow your enemies to insult you? Will you let them dishonor your name forever? Why do you hold back your strong right hand? Unleash your powerful fist and destroy them. You, O God, are my king from ages past, bringing salvation to the earth. You split the sea by your strength and smashed the heads of the sea monsters. You crushed the heads of Leviathan and let the desert animals eat him. You caused the springs and streams to gush forth, and you dried up rivers that never run dry. Both day and night belong to you. You made the starlight and the sun. You set the boundaries of the earth, and you made both summer and winter. See how these enemies insult you, Lord. A foolish nation has dishonored your name. Don't let these wild beasts destroy your turtle doves. Don't forget your suffering people forever. Remember your covenant promises, for the land is full of darkness and violence. Don't let the downtrodden be humiliated again. Instead, let the poor and needy praise your name. Arise, O God, and defend your cause. Remember how these fools insult you all day long. Don't overlook what your enemies have said or their growing uproar. Okay, so what I'm going to do is just give you some commentary on each of the three chapters we read today, starting with chapter 72. As I'm recording this, the date is December 7th, 2020. What was supposed to be Election Day, November 3rd, 2020, has turned into election season. Joe Biden is being called the president-elect, even though the Electoral College has not yet voted and several states are still not decided. President Trump has several legal teams building cases that there were voting irregularities in these states, and I have no idea who is going to prevail. I know who I think will be better for the country and the world, but I do not know who the ultimate winner of the highest office in the land of the United States of America will be. But I do know one thing for certain. God knows, and not only does he know, he has control over who the winner will be. Romans 13:1 says, "Everyone must submit to governing authorities, for all authority comes from God, and those in positions of authority have been placed there by God." So why do I bring this up now? Because even though Psalms 72 is a prayer for King Solomon, I think that much of it is appropriate for any leader. God is asked to give the king good judgment, goodness, fairness, peace in the land, good crops for the people, and on and on. Whoever wins in 2020, we should be praying this prayer for him. And if you're not in the United States, hang on until my commentary on Psalms 74. I've got something to say to you as well. In Psalms 73 today, we see a man who at first seems to be complaining that doing right and living a good life is not worth the effort. He suffered, while the unrighteous seemed to have it easy. But then, when he entered the sanctuary, he realized that their ultimate destiny was ruin. Have you ever thought that it just doesn't seem fair? You look around and you see people that you know do not live for God, and they have money, they have power, they have influence, fame, and all the rest, while you struggle to make ends meet. Maybe you have physical challenges, or people look at you like you're stupid to believe in a God that you cannot see. Beloved, hang in there. We're here on this earth for only a moment in time. Eternity is a long, long, long time. I'll gladly sacrifice the supposed comforts of wealth now to live in fellowship in the presence of the Lord forever. I have no doubt that it will be worth it. Beloved, run the race all the way to the finish line. Now, on Psalm 74, 2020. A couple of days ago, I heard someone say, "This year has been a very long decade." Isn't it the truth? COVID, lockdowns, masks, riots, an economy that is reeling, mom-and-pop businesses going bankrupt because of the lockdowns while a few giant companies have record-breaking profits, skyrocketing unemployment, also caused by lockdowns, a seemingly eternal presidential election. I could go on. The opening sentence of Psalm 74 captures what many today might be thinking. O God, why have you rejected us forever? The world is indeed a troubled place right now. Most of the world has rejected God and has been living in rebellion to Him for decades and even centuries. Even the United States of America, which had its founding primarily for the practice of freedom of religion, threw God out of the schools in 1963 when I was in the third grade. And since Roe v. Wade in 73, I think it was, millions of babies have been murdered, sacrifices to the God of convenience, selfishness, and sexual freedom. If I offend you, so be it. God allowed Israel to fall because of their worship of false gods. Do we in America think that if God allowed His chosen people to be taken into captivity multiple times and then ultimately the temple destroyed, He won't judge America? I truly do hope and pray that He will continue to shed His grace on us. But for how long will He put up with the rebellion? Only He knows. But beloved, we must carry His banner. We must speak the truth of Christ boldly. People really do need the Lord. We must not hide His light under a bushel. Yes, culturally it might seem like the deck is stacked against us, but Jesus started the church with just 12 men. Now, I know that some listening to this show are not in America. Well, I'm talking to you too. Some of you are just north of me in Canada, some in the UK, New Zealand, South Africa, Australia. There are listeners in Singapore, Nigeria, in Spain. I could go on. Every one of you in each of the 40 nations that are listening to me right now and who know Jesus as your Savior have family or friends or acquaintances who need Jesus in their lives. If each of us were to make it a point to tell them what Jesus has meant in our lives, how many people would be brought into God's family? How many people's eternities would be changed? Do you think that would change the world? It would change the world for those people. Those of us who are believers are first and foremost citizens of heaven. Our responsibility is to live for God, but He put each of us where we are by design. We are to influence those around us. We are to share the gospel with the people that God puts in our path. And if we do that faithfully, God can use us to make a difference. He can use us, literally, to change the world. I'd love to hear your thoughts. Write to me at steve@lifespringmedia.com. Our reading tomorrow will be Proverbs 5 and 6. I hope you'll be here. Until then, may God bless you richly. I'm Steve Webb. Bye.